You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your favorite Uncle Silk.
It's Dan.
And Delatory.
Same corner, same time, fresh off the spring, orange and blue game. It's time for the summer lies now. Spring lies is over. How y'all boys feeling? Y'all good?
Feeling good. Feeling very, very good. A good Masters week. And I want to give a quick shout out to myself. I'm going to take myself off camera here in a second. I'll bring it over the trophy, but want to give a shout out to my buddy John Hughes, my buddy Marcus Moats, my buddy Matt Corley. We took home the Tampa Gator Club golf tournament this weekend. Just an electrifying performance on the golf course, West Chase here in Tampa. Just probably the best foursome, golf foursome that one could be a part of. So congratulations to us. And the Tampa area Gator Club that got to witness that. So I don't like to brag, but my shoulder does hurt from patting myself on the back for some incredible around the green shots from yours truly.
Chip and putt, Dan.
Sometimes that's you right. Gotta do it. What was the competition like? Did you beat any notable people?
No notable people. I want to give a shout out. My buddy Elliot was there. I don't really know. They didn't have a big meet and greet session before. A lot of people were on the range. Looked like maybe some older athletes. A lot of people came from out of town. So thankful for them. I know that they raised a bunch of money for area scholarships. So that was great. Obviously what their goal and mission was, but did not really see a ton of people. There's one guy that came up to me and said he listened to the pod. So shout out to him. Forgot your name. They're giving out free transfusions, the alcoholic transfusion early on in the morning. So my memory is slightly askew. But overall, fantastic event for the Tampa area Gator Club. If you're not a member or play golf, I definitely encourage, or if you did not go and you do play golf, I encourage you guys to go next year. So 1 second.
He's really going to get the trophy. This is crazy.
That's great. He says he doesn't like to brag or boast, but he also.
He had the trophy nearby.
Also didn't give.
That's pretty nice.
Anyone on his team.
Well, no, there's four trophies that were given out. So we all got one. Nice. We all got a gift card for a free round of golf. We all got a gift card for Heads and Tails, which is a store here in Tampa that sells Gator paraphernalia. Got a gift card to the patio, which hosts the Tampa area Gator Club. A lot of stuff. It felt like winning the Masters. Slightly less than the $3.6 million you would have won. And then obviously there's four of us and not just one, but just a spectacular Saturday.
What was the winning score so that we can all judge how honest your team was?
So we got a 55. So you might say, wow, that seems like an egregiously low score. There was one hole where you could pay, you could get a two on a five. You shot a ball out of a cannon, like a potato cannon. Ball goes like 500 yards, nuts. You pay that money. Obviously, it goes to scholarship. Three eagles for the team. But when you have four people that all are pretty good at golf, that's not too outlandish. But also kind of a slow start for the boys to start out. But the last 11 holes, we really put it all together. But was signed off by, you know, some people that have some fiduciary and audit responsibility themselves. So, you know, you guys can take it or leave it, but the clean scorecard, no eraser marks, just really showed that we brought it.
Did you carry the team or?
I did not. No, John Hughes carried the team. John Hughes is, there's a country club here in Tampa called Palmacia. He's the club champion or one of the club champions there. So when you have somebody that's a scratch golfer himself, it makes the rest of the round a little bit easier for the rest of the game. But Marcus Moats is a fantastic golfer too. Gator friend of mine. So I know a lot of people complain about baseball talk at the beginning, got a little golf talk, but yeah, so. How was everybody else's weekend? Nick, you were up in Augusta during the week.
Yeah, we was able to go Tuesday with my the best man at my wedding, Kyle, another groomsman, Andrew, and then Andrew's brother-in-law, who his brother-in-law is actually pregnant as well. So it was a dad's trip. Mm. Two soon-to-be dads and two dads hanging out at Augusta. Great trip. If you ever win the lottery, take advantage of it. It's an unbelievable course. And had a great time Tuesday, and then got to watch the Masters and Scottie Scheffler. We were just talking about if Scottie would have left. So Scottie, 27 years old, already won the Masters. Wife is pregnant. I think the due date is this week, but had said he would leave, would exit the course, withdraw if his wife were to call and say, hey, we're going into labor. Already has a green jacket. Already is the number one golfer in the world. First kid. To me, labor takes hours. If I'm making the turn, I'm on 10, and wife says, hey, water just broke, I'll be like, all right, cool. I got another hour and a half here, and then we'll fly private.
You got to plug the Waze app too, like check traffic, make sure the roads
are clear. I'm sure they – listen, you just made $3.7 million. We can arrange a helicopter to get me
that too
from the course
helipad. I'm not mad at
to the private airfield to take the private jet. Many ways to do it.
What would you do, Nick? Like, first, you're about to be a first time dad, so just imagine that you're like a serious golfer.
I just explained it. We're taking a helicopter from the 18th green,
to
the private jet, and the private jet takes me to the airfield, and then we'll take a helicopter to the airport. We're not even touching a car.
You think the lady's going to be cool with that, though?
I don't know. Probably not.
You got to make that a game time decision. You can't tell her beforehand, like, hey, listen, if I'm about to win this thing and you're about to have the baby, I'm probably try to catch the helicopter to the hospital.
It's a difference between, so if you win, you win $3.6 million. If you lose, you're getting like $52,000 for withdrawing.
She'll understand.
You think the 3.6 makes a huge difference in Scottie Scheffler's life, or
I think 3.6 makes a difference.
It affects the caddy a lot. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That goes from 36 grand down to 5 grand.
Yeah.
So maybe you just, that's a tough call, but he said it on national TV that he was going to go. So at that point you've locked yourself in to millions of viewers as well. You don't want to be looked at as a coward
for going to your kid's birth.
No, that's not at all. I'm saying you got to leave at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, all the other competitors, you know, Max Homa, the rest of the gang that's up there is all saying, hey, you know, I wish you the best of luck, man. I hope she has a baby right now. One of those long, complicated, you know, safe, long births, right?
But yeah, Nick, I would have finished. I would have finished my round. I think the
finishing is how we got here, babe.
I mean, Nick, your baby's due during football season, so hopefully it's not the UF Samford game, and you're like, honey, right now Florida's driving late.
This pulsar's on the line.
Yeah,
well, I'll say it right now.
Write this article, baby.
These quotes aren't going to write themselves. I got to transcribe this part of Billy's interview for the group.
How's this negative news going to hit the streets if I don't write it?
I'll let you know right now, if the baby comes during any of Florida's football games, I'm out of that stadium.
Or if we're beating Georgia by like 21.
Then we're in serious trouble because the baby's due in September.
Oh, okay.
So if the baby's coming at the end of October, God bless my wife. Good luck and God bless.
Good luck and God bless. So how's your weekend before we get into the show?
Had a weekend off, man. So I just chilled, took my daughter. She's learning how to drive. So did a lot of that this Saturday and Sunday. Of course, watched the spring game. But track, teaching a 16-year-old how to drive, man, it was anxiety a little bit.
I don't blame you. Very first time, shout out to my dad. I think I almost killed him the very first time we drove on the street. Not actually, but where we were going, we were driving from the parking lot to my parents' house, maybe a mile and a half, 2 miles down the road, you pass a fire truck or a fire station, pardon me, a fire truck had just pulled out behind me. I didn't have any idea. He's blaring his horn. He's got someplace to be. A house is on fire. So I make a turn that I probably should not have. The car was a little closer than you should safely make. So we survived, didn't get hit, but I think I cost a few years off my dad's life because of that. So shout out to him for continuing to let me drive after. All right, let's get into the show. A lot to talk about. We'll talk about baseball at the end. I know a lot of complaints over the last few weeks. Nick lied. Gators lose 2-3 against Mississippi State. So we will – or South Carolina, pardon me. So we'll talk about that at the end of the show. Lying, Nick. As always, this show is sponsored by Lucy. Go check out Lucy. Lucy.co/stadium will get you 20% off of your first order. If you are looking straight to your door, nicotine pouches that are far superior to the gas station ones that you might buy and all the flavors that you might like and enjoy, wintergreen, peppermint, espresso. They also have the mango. They have a bunch of different ice flavors. The apple ice is really good. Go check out Lucy, lucy.co/stadium. You get 20% off of your order. They also do subscriptions where you can get 15% off of your order as well. It's always going to be free shipping, 30-day refund policy if you change your mind. Here is the fine print. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age, and every order is age verified. Warning, this product does contain nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. All right, gentlemen, let's get into the orange and blue game. We saw Graham Mertz. We saw DJ Lagway. We saw Jaden Ball. We saw a bunch of different things on Saturday and what was a beautiful day in Gainesville. Before we kind of get into individual players, give me your thoughts on the game itself.
Overall, I know we're not like unleashing the whole playbook or anything like that, but it just seemed like the offense is more dynamic with some RPO action. We look easily covered as an offense. You know, like we look easy to defend, in my opinion, unless we have some mobility at the quarterback spot. Love what DJ Lagway brought to the table as a true freshman, first spring. You know, Mazzell and those guys opened up a little bit. Pause. Shout out to Trey Wilson. We know what he could bring to the table with a lot of the jet sweeps, but seeing him get some deep routes and separate himself on some longer routes from Mertz, I thought that was dope. Still hard to tell what's coming from the offense and defensive line. It was just like a decent battle, but it's hard to tell if we got a pass rush or if we can really stop the run, or the offense is just not a good offensive line. It's hard to figure out, but Jaden Ball is the truth. We talked about it on this show last week. He damn well may be RB1. We'll see how that plays out. But overall, I do think we need Lagway packages to survive this fall and to have a winning season, in my opinion, what we got. And also, DK isn't – I don't know if he's going to cut it. That's my overall take. We'll get more into it, but overall, that's what I'm thinking.
I think you leave – this spring game feeling better than you did leaving last spring game. I think I've mentioned you need, and I'll have a story coming out later today, but you need another receiver. I said you need another tight end. And I said you need another offensive lineman. People were like, what do you mean you need another receiver? I don't know if anyone's asking me that question anymore. Offensive line, I don't think the offensive line is better than they were last year. And that was one of my questions coming into the spring game was, okay, well, I think I need to see, because the offensive line is without Cam Waits, without Austin Barber, and needing to get someone in the portal to fill in for another starting spot interior-wise, I think I need to see the defensive line dominate the offensive line. I don't know that they dominated greatly, but I think Montrell and Treyon averaged like 2 yards a carry. There were really no running lanes for them. And then the second team offensive line gave up 6 sacks.
Who's Treyon?
Webb.
Oh, sorry.
Webb and Montrell.
I've never heard you call him Treyon before. I'm thinking of Treyon Harris. Sorry, go ahead. It's a Monday morning, you know?
It's just his first name. So I think the defensive line definitely won the day, but still, like Silk said, got a question, like, do you get to the passer? I think TJ Sears is going to be a dude. I think you got a bunch of guys there, to be honest. LJ McCray played with the first team a little bit. He's going to be a guy. Secondary-wise, I like it. Like, listen, Sharif Denson's not a bad football player. Comes away with a pick. But, like, if you only watch the snaps where he plays against Eugene Wilson, you think, who is this guy and why does he have a scholarship? And I think that's just more foreshadowing or looking at how good Trey can be. So Florida has playmakers, but like I said, DK and Graham have a connection, but they need somebody else to take the eyes and the attention off of Eugene Wilson.
Yeah, no, for sure. No, I think that the great analysis by both of you. Again, the spring games come with a big caveat to them. Not a ton of practices under their belts. A lot of new players on the offensive side of the ball and on the defensive side of the ball. I do think that there was some surprises. We'll get into each of those. But there was definitely some surprising plays by some names that people were a little bit unfamiliar with. I know Quincy Ivory had a number of plays where he got some sacks. George Gums, right? He had a number of sacks in the game too, maybe a sack and a half, two sacks. So there was definitely some players that had some more impact in the game than I thought that they would. You're definitely missing at least one spot at the wide receiver position. Obviously, you still don't have Andy Jean in there to play and to be able to see what he's able to do, but just missing some playmakers, I think, on this team. And I think the Gators need at least one, if not two, playmakers in the portal at the wide receiver position. Tight end position still, some question marks. I know that they might go after the tight end position. So maybe Nick feels a little bit better. I feel cautiously optimistic. But again, there just doesn't seem to be enough with the schedule that they have. So hoping for some big improvement overall from them this offseason. But again, just not super excited, but also not dejected, which is a feeling that you can get after one of these games as well.
Yeah, I like to see Trey Wilson. I like his overall game is just improving. So to see him, set up routes the way he's setting them up and to make plays downfield, felt good about that. And overall, I think the wide receiver room isn't bad. Marcus Burke showed some flashes. I'm just more concerned with just the style and design of the offense. But as you can see, the windows that DJ Lagway is fitting balls into is impressive as a young guy. He made some mistakes as well, and you're going to get those mistakes from him. But it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. He's going to jump into that playbook more. He's going to develop more this offseason. He's a very competitive kid that wants to play early. He's not shying away from it. But I don't know, man. I think week one, he has to be a very intricate part of the game plan for this offense to go. The offense is too vanilla, and we don't have enough playmakers to make this thing go without a dynamic person at the quarterback spot. And that's my biggest takeaway. We don't want to rush this kid's maturation process. He's not here to save us year one. But I think talent-wise, skill-wise, he can contribute and play right away. You're not even forcing him into the mix from seeing what I saw in the spring game.
It's interesting because it's Billy Napier almost made it seem like so the spring game, I don't know if they showed it on TV, inside the stadium, the orange team started with 3 points, and no one knew why. Napier said after the game, on Thursday, they did a red zone period, orange team versus blue team, and whoever won that period was going to get 3 points to start the game. They would start with a 3-0 lead in the spring game. And Napier said he could kind of see DJ's eyes light up, okay, now we're really competing now. And I think maybe because of the player that he is, and because you're going to be using him as a runner and he has a serious ability to run the football, maybe you're not getting all the best version of him in practice. kind of like they used to say Tim Tebow was a bad practice player. But because of the way he plays, you don't get all of that when you're in a black non-contact jersey.
Intangibles.
The other thing with DJ, I think, is he's been the biggest, fastest, strongest player on the football field for the last 3-4 years in Willis, Texas. There's a little bit of like when you watch Chris Rainey, Noel Devine's highlight tapes from high school, they'd run 30 yards in the backfield, break 12 tackles to get a 15-yard gain or a 40-yard gain. There's a lot of that in DJ's game that you have to kind of get out of his head right now of, hey, if the pass isn't there and it's first and 10, throw the ball away. We don't need to try to run around and try to do too much. We need to just do whatever we can on this play. And sometimes the best thing you can do is throw it away. Billy Napier used poker as an example. If you have a bad hand in poker, just fold. You don't need to pay to see the flop. You just need to get rid of it. And sometimes the best thing you can do is to fold a hand. And I think that's just something that if you're DJ Lagway and you've been running and throwing for thousands of yards by taking chances, you just kind of have to get out of that. And he threw a bunch. He probably threw more interceptions in spring during practice, during 7-on-7, 11-on-11, than he's ever thrown in his entire life.
Sure.
And I think part of that is the maturation process to be like, okay, the windows at this level are smaller. They're tougher to get passes into. The TJ Searcy's of the world are bigger than me and can catch me when I go off and run. So some of that is stuff that is just going to is natural progression from going to from high school to college. But certainly I think DJ Lagway gave you glimpses in the spring game. The pass to Spirito was incredible. Drop that. I think long or far side of the field. The pass to Mizell, really good job of Mizell getting open.
It's a good window that he put it the ball into as well. Yeah.
Arm strength is not ever going to be questioned.
Yeah, it's flanked by defenders there in the middle. Put it through the window. Overall, good pass. Let's pull up these stats real quick. So the final score was 19-14. Hopefully you guys can see that if you're watching here live. Do want to give a quick shout out, actually. D did this early on in the show, super chat. We need another playmaker on the outside to pair with Trey Wilson. Too easy to defend without it. Jaden Baugh is about to take snaps. Need one more guard. So we will talk about Jaden Baugh and the offensive line here in a minute. So Graham Mertz goes 15-27 for 243 yards, one touchdown, one interception. DJ Lagway goes 12-21, 173 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. Rushing the ball, Jaden Baugh led both squads with 77 yards. Jacoby Jackson, who probably is fifth on the depth chart, but also had a great spring for all intents and purposes, has 60 yards, followed by Anthony Rubio, obviously not a great outing for Montrell Johnson, who had 7 rushes for just 18 yards. Let's see, Treyon Webb, 6 rushes for 10 yards. So ultimately, it is the Jaden Baugh show, 12 rushes, 77 yards, including a long of 25. Guy looks like a machine out there.
That guy looked like Fred T in that 21. Boy, that hop step, making people miss in the backfield. He brings a little bit of what we missing with Etienne leaving. The ability to make somebody miss when the offensive line isn't performing well, which we see that none of these guys got excellent blocking in the run game, but 21 was able to make some people miss. That jump cut is very nostalgic from 21, dog. Like it. Like it a lot.
Yep, on the receiver.
I like it a lot.
Eugene Wilson, 8 catches, 128 yards with a 77 yak. His long was 60 on a seam route right up the middle and ran wide open. Untouched probably within 10 or 15 yards there. Khalil Jackson, 56 yards. Marcus Burke, 63 yards. I'm just going to highlight people that are going to likely play. Tony Livingston, 2 catches, 10 yards. Shamari DK, 2 catches, 20 yards. Some yak from Wilson, Jackson, Edgecombe, Burke, other than that, just not a lot of catch and run, a lot of catch and tackle from what we can, what we saw in this one.
Yeah, DK gonna have to show me something. So far, I haven't seen it, bro. Like, I'd rather roll with the young boys right now. I know him and Graham got some chemistry, but I didn't see it. I haven't seen it yet. I don't know if he can separate. And we need people that can separate in this conference and also for our quarterback and for this offense, bro. We've seen more flashes from Burke. We've seen it in the past. I got an interview dropping this week with Zach Carter. He mentioned it in that episode as well, saying that Burke is one of those guys. He just needs to put it all together. So we'll see what Burke can do, but it's a lot to be desired. Receivers was a spot that I was going to watch pregame, that I said I was going to watch pregame. Haven't learned a whole lot about that room. We got a couple of guys. Mazzell, like what he did. Mm-hmm. You know, Trey Wilson is him. And then 22, you know, Khalil Jackson is solid. He's going to bring you some crazy catches. We'd like to see him catch more balls, pause, and have the ability to run with him. And most of the time he's catching the ball, falling out of bounds, doing something acrobatic. But it's just a lot to be desired in the wide receiver room as far as pulling the potential out of these guys. Could be style of offense, could be the guys, could be the wide receiver coach. But right now it's not materializing.
Yeah, Aiden Mizell, forgot to mention him, one catch, 22 yards, and a touchdown. Your touchdown catchers in the game were Eugene Wilson on the blue team, and then on the orange team was Spearto and Aiden Mizell. Rough day on offense for the blue team, just 3 of 12 on third down, just 14 overall first downs. The blue team was had 19 first downs, 6 of 14 on third down. The orange team ran 16 more plays, much less yards per play, but ultimately just an average performance. 3 of 3 in the red zone for the blue team, 2 of 4 in the red zone for the orange team.
What y'all thought about the linebacker play? Did like Pup Harris, Manny Nunnery got himself an interception. He's back out of the portal. Any defensive takes? Anything y'all like from that side of the ball?
Let's pull up the stats while we're here.
All right, there we go. I think Pup Harris could work his way into. It'll be interesting to see who starts. I think it could be Pup. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready to close the door on Miles Graham when he comes back. I think
right.
Unfortunate that he has the back injury coming into the year or coming into enrolling and you have to clean that up. But I think he's out there every single day watching practice, watching it go. It's different to watch and go through it. But I think Pup Howard's a guy who is going to tackle. You need that from that spot. You've got a couple veterans there and Nunnery and Wingo that I think will play, but will also help get Howard and Graham up to speed. So Pup looks like he's ready to start. Could win that job. Probably still looks needs good. To do some work to win it. And he'll have that opportunity in the summer, in the fall camp.
Yeah, Pup, besides Shamar James, got me hyped. I do like the young boys, Childs and Graham. We're going to have some solid depth at linebacker. Not extremely worried about that position. This is more the pass rush than anything, but did like what I saw from Pup Howard. Good move in the transfer portal, for sure.
Yeah, just looking at the stats here, probably expect a little bit more. Joey Slackman, I feel like, has had a pretty quiet spring. Not saying that he won't be an impact player, and you know we've talked a lot about it on this show that I think what's really important for the Gators is this transfer portal season was to be able to build depth. And I think this is really the first time in a long time that they've had depth at all three, or I guess all four positions on the defensive side or defensive line. So again, I thought that Gums had a pretty good game for all intents and purposes. I know Quincy Ivory, don't know how much we'll expect to see out of him this year, but again, I thought that he had a pretty good game. Gates, I thought that he played pretty well. I'm excited to see, you know, his continued maturation. So the linebackers, I think, you know, once they're healthy, you know, I think we've talked about it on it, you know, on the show that they do have a lot of talent, just a matter of kind of putting it all together and being a cohesive unit there. still wanting to see a little bit more out of the defensive backs and the safeties, a couple deep balls, a couple players wanting running pretty wide open. I don't remember whose responsibility that was. I know Bridges was coming from the far side of the field. And then who did you say Nick was on? Eugene Wilson, because he was dusted.
Denson.
Yeah, so he was dusted. Obviously, Eugene Wilson's one of the better players, better wide receivers in the country, but still some issues that I'm seeing back in that defensive backfield as a whole.
Bro, shout out to Kwame on this beautiful, bright Monday morning in here, getting these trolls off.
Yeah. Kwame, make sure you hit the like and subscribe button each and every week. Make sure you buy from our sponsors, too.
Yeah, you sell some nicotine gum.
Yeah, yeah. Ivory had 6 tackles, 2 for a loss, a sack and a half. Yep. So anybody else? Des Watson, 1 tackle in the game. Jakeem Jackson, a couple. Manny Nunnery had the interception in the game. Robinson, the transfer last season linebacker, he had 1 pass breakup. On the defensive side of the ball, on blue, on the orange defense, Pup Howard, Jason Marshall, and Jamari Lyons all get pass breakups with LJ McCray. I thought that he had a great scrimmage. And then Asa Turner gets 1 pass breakup as well. A couple quarterback hurries. Caleb Banks gets 1. LJ McCray gets 1 on the orange defense. And then Gums got the only quarterback hurry on the blue defense in this game.
A few of those guys that they brought in, Gums, Brian Taylor, a few of those guys look good off the edge. It's just hard to tell what our offensive line is going to be before we can get excited. We got excited about the defensive line last year, and then it just didn't pan out. So it's hard to tell. But, Denson did bounce back in the comments. And Denson did bounce back with an interception later on in the game.
Yeah.
Which he kind of damn near ran the route for the receiver a little bit. Love that out of him. I think he's going to be okay at the star position. But tackling. Y'all fine with tackling? It look better? Worse? Not enough to tell?
Yeah. We had 10 on special teams. Still a little low.
We had 10 on special teams again.
Yeah, Manny Nunnery, there are a lot of people in the comments saying that he looked good. I have to watch him a little bit more. I know that he had the one big play there, but I'd have to rewatch that one. But he gets 3 tackles, 1 solo tackle, 1 tackle for loss, and then the interception that we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, we got
so good to have him depth-wise, right? You just never know with injuries. With everything else, and then obviously you need your backup players when Florida's playing Miami, and you're clearing out the bench. Nunnery will be a good one to continue to keep Cam Ward in check. Kwame, shout out to him, said LJ McCray's a damn unit. Nice to have him on our team and not your team. But again, I think with anything with the orange and blue game, you're kind of in between a rock and a hard place. No matter what you say, you want some explosive plays on offense to say, hey, we've got a pretty good team. You don't want the defense to give up a lot of explosive plays. You want the defense to cause some turnovers, but you don't want to have too many turnovers on offense, right? You want to see the running backs look explosive, but you don't want to see them look too explosive because then you have questions about your defense. You don't want to see them get stuffed at the line because you have a great defense and wonder where the explosiveness is, right? So with anything, I think there's always a caveat to this, but, Nick, I think that you said it, at the beginning of the show, there's at least a little bit more confidence in some areas of the game. And you still have 4.5 months before the start of the season as well.
I mean, if negative Nick's leaving the game more confident, then maybe a optimistic fan should be as well. I think Florida's tackling should be better when the season comes around. I think Nathaniel Rogers in the chat made a good point that like none of it's going to matter. It doesn't matter if Jaden Baugh is the next coming of Emmett Smith, if Montrell Johnson is great, Trey Wilson can get open downfield. None of it matters if your offensive line isn't blocking. And I give Florida the benefit of the doubt because you're out Cam Waits and you're out Austin Barber.
Right.
But I just don't know. Like, I don't think that Devin Manuel, the transfer from Arkansas, I don't think he's going to be a really impact player. Crenshaw Dixon, I think, is going to be fine at right tackle. I think he solidified his starting spot at right tackle.
I think it'll be an upgrade at right tackle, Nick. I mean, let's keep it 100, right?
Yeah. I don't think Damian George didn't have the speed to play outside. I don't think he has the strength to play inside. So I think right guard is still wide open. I like what I've heard from Bryce Lovett in spring, but they're throwing a lot on his plate. Like, Bryce Lovett played left tackle in the spring game on top of playing first-team reps at right guard in the spring. So he's kind of playing everywhere. They say he can play all five spots. I think your biggest need is right guard. I would let him chill out on playing the other four and just really focus in on playing right guard, center, left guard, left tackle. I think you're set. With Cam Waits being your swing guy on the tackle, at tackle, playing left or right, depending on how you need it, as injuries come and go.
Hindsight 2020, right? Yeah, it was time for Saban to call it quits, bro. Because he said Damian George was one of the best linemen he had ever coached or something crazy like that, man. So,
yeah,
it was time to go. Dementia setting in.
Let's talk a little bit about running backs. Obviously, Jayden Baugh took the crown for the best day on Saturday. Not a ton of plays where you're going to see the kind of the full offense work with pass blocking and everything else. Did you guys see any improvement in that regard from the running backs?
I didn't really put a whole lot of attention on it. Yeah, be honest with you.
I guess until somebody misses, you don't really pay a lot of attention, right?
Or they transfer.
Yeah, or they transfer, right? It becomes easy, right? It's our justification after a while.
Got a whole highlight reel of it after they transfer.
That's right. Offensive side of the ball, we talked about the offensive line, talked about needing a playmaker, didn't see a ton of the tight ends. This game either. You think they're going to try to, you think that was the game plan, or do you think they're just desperate for a playmaker at the tight end position?
You just don't have guys there.
You don't have playmakers, especially, right? Like, you have some blockers, right? You have a six offensive lineman. You got a number of those guys.
Yeah. Like, Arliss can be that. Hayden Hansen. I stand on what I said. People did not like that, but like, he's not a offensive weapon. Tony Livingston, still maybe a developmental player still. Florida needs to go and find a tight end in the transfer portal. Said that 3 weeks ago.
Right.
We need to go find one if we're going to use them.
Yeah, if you're going to use them.
Yeah, it has to be sexy, right? It has to be a sexy position for somebody to want to transfer to Florida as well, right? And obviously for some kids, the opportunity to play to school like Florida is great, but you want that playmaker, that impact player, not just another body in the room. Florida has a lot of tight ends as a position.
The room might need to bring in a folding chair.
The room is full. The room is full. I think that at last, we had seven or eight.
I don't know. I mean, Keon Zipper is on a milk carton. Like, you had surgery on your knee 18 months ago. Yeah. Did you take your rehab seriously? Did you have a setback? They have not told us. No one's told me he had a setback. So, like, what were you doing? Because you've been You've been non-contact for a long time. Maybe he's just trying to graduate and go play somewhere else.
Get for that free transfer. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You get the opportunity to train. If you're a graduate transfer, you can transfer interconference, intra conference, right? Inside of the conference, intra.
I think it's interconference. I don't know if you can transfer
even as a graduate transfer.
As a grad, you can.
Yeah, as you graduate, I would think by the amount of time that he's been here, we're at graduation time for the Zip.
This is his sixth year.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Not casting aspersions on Stetson Bennett, who took 17 and a half years and still didn't graduate. Just saying that at year six, you should be at that point.
I think Treyon Webb's going to graduate here shortly with his under end.
Wow. That's pretty incredible.
It's impressive.
Very impressive.
As a second-year student, wow. Let's see. Trying to think if there's anything else. Obviously, there's a bunch of awards that they gave out. Do you guys want me to read all of these awards? Nick,
no,
you have the distinct pleasure of reading them. Jaquavion Frazier's, Marcus Weston.
You got awards?
Dez Watson. Some names that have been around the program. RJ Moten. Got to wonder where we're at on Transfer Watch. It opens today.
To Tuesday. Tuesday it opens. Tuesday. April 16th will be the official opening of the transfer portal.
Okay.
And that's open through the rest of the month, 16th through the 30th, a 15-day window there. You just have to enter your name in. You know, once you're in the portal, you're free to sign anywhere. You cannot go from SEC to SEC. That includes Oklahoma and Texas. So when you're making your wish list, exclude the 15 other teams in the conference.
Yeah. I
would be interested to see if the SEC wants to do that because they don't want to cannibalize each other's rosters this late in the program. But I would be interested to see what player challenges that in the courts, like takes the SEC to court. Hey, I want to go.
Well, they just
took
the NCAA to court over it. And the NCAA said no more restrictions. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's coming for the SEC in the year of our Lord 2024.
Yeah. So currently not a thing, but I would be interested to see if a player took the SEC to court, if the SEC would try to fight it or just change the rule.
I think at that point you would just change the rule. Right. I mean, what ground legal ground you have to stand on? The only other thing that you could refer to would be the NCAA. The NCAA said, we're washing our hands of it.
Yeah. Hmm. Just so, another L to throw onto the record for the NCAA.
Yeah, I'm sure the NCAA will dissolve itself. Some new organization will come in and face the same legal issues, but it'll have a different name. So at least they won't be as popular of a place to throw your anger for maybe a year or two. That's the biggest thing, right, is the NCAA exists on behalf of these member organizations and do on behalf of these member organizations. So whenever you blame the NCAA, just know that you're likely blaming Scott Strickland, which I'm sure to this show would be something that they agree with wholeheartedly. Let's get a quick ad read in here. Shout out to our friends over at Home Field Apparel again. Best retro logos that you can imagine on the softest cotton t-shirts for the University of Florida and about 100 other schools across the country. So friend, relative, coworker, birthday party, whatever it might be, go check out Home Field Apparel. Use promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. Get you 15% off of your first order to that email address. Not encouraging you guys to have multiple email addresses, but if you do, you can continue to use that promo code each and every time you have a new registered email. So again, that's Stadium and Gale at checkout at homefieldapparel.com.
Y'all beefing in the comments. I like it.
Love the comments. Make sure before you comment, you hit the like button, you hit the subscribe button, and you share super chat donations if you feel like you have a great comment to add into the chat here. Gentlemen, we talked a little bit about it. Transfers that you want in position groups. What do you guys think? You think we're fine at wide receiver and just need one? You think they try to go two? Do you think it hashtag depends on the number of transfers? Gators sit one over scholarship count right now. That doesn't matter.
Depends, not a sponsor.
Depends is not a sponsor yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it depends on who's entering the portal, but we definitely need one bigger outside receiver that could stretch the field some, take some pressure off of a lot of what Nick already said, take some pressure off of Trey Wilson. I don't know if we need two, but I mean, if you just got two killers, because a lot of this is just money too, right? You may want to, but what your budget NIL wise, what you can afford, what the room and the cap and all that stuff looks like, is gonna pay. It's gonna be taken into account as well. So yeah, you need one receiver. You need weapons. I think we're fine. This is a run first team, in my opinion, and it should be predicated off a lot of RPO and making defenses bear down on that run game and play action off of it. You just got to implement the right quarterback to be able to cash in on that. But yeah, you got to go get one wide receiver.
I'm going to go put it out there. I'm not confident in the wide receiver room right now. I am not saying that they are bad. I'm not saying that they don't have some potential playmakers, but I am not pleased with the depth and quality of depth and number of starts in that room right now. I think that Eugene Wilson is one of the best players, one of the best playmakers on the Gators roster in a very long time. I think that he's going to go out there and he's going to be, you know, a 5, 6, 7 catch guy, you know, probably average close to 90, 100 yards a game. After that, I'm just not 100% sure. Khalil Jackson, I think, is good. I don't think that he's great. He'll make a circus catch or two. We'll want to see the consistency out of him. I think we've seen some flashes of what Mizell can do. It'll be interesting to see DK continue to get acclimated to this offense and what he might be able to do. Andy Jean is still a wild card. We haven't seen much of him last year. He's been injured this season. You know, is he on the team next year? I'm not saying that he won't be, just saying that that's a question mark that's out there. But then you start to look after that. You have Trey Hawkins, who's, you know, a true freshman. Tank Hawkins, who's a true freshman. I just don't know what you have beyond that. Who are your consistent route runners? Who are your guys that are going to go out there and catch that 14-yard pass? Who's the guy that's going to make the block and then go out for, you know, a quick route and get some yak? Just not a lot of yak in this game. I just don't feel very confident in the group that we have right now in proven ability.
Yeah. You're going to need something dynamic at the quarterback position to make teams commit to the run, get some one-on-one looks. I'm sorry, but go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, it's why we've said it on the show all month that you need they need to go and get another guy in the portal. Mm-hmm. And we get pushed back in the comments every time we say it until after the spring game.
See it, yeah. You know, Marcus Burke, a guy that I forgot as well. Again, health availability is your best ability. I need to see him start to put it all together. So I just, again, question marks about the wide receiver
position. He's been healthy. He's just been unavailable for other reasons. And at some point, you just got to grow up.
Yeah.
And maybe he will this year, and we'll see him on the field.
Attitude will impact your altitude. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. Ability's never been the issue. Never been the reason. Health has never been the reason. You just got to be a professional when you're off the field.
Yep. Tight end. We talked about offensive line, probably need a guard. Defensive side of the ball, you think the Gators are going to kick tires? Anybody on the defensive side of the ball?
Obviously,
it seems like defensive line, they've got a lot of depth, a lot of playmakers potentially that you went and got a lot, right? Especially over the last two seasons. Linebacker, you seem pretty solidified. And you went and you rehabbed the entire defensive side, our defensive backroom as well. So,
yeah, I think you're good. Now, listen, if you've got a really, really good player in the portal who hits you up and, hey, I want to come, we'll find a roster spot for you. But Florida's an 86 scholarship, so they need some attrition to happen in order to add. And let's say the three position groups I've mentioned, they need to get one in each of those. You've got four people that have to go to make room for – to add those three spots at receiver, tight end, offensive line. So I don't know who. I saw people mention Des Watson. He's so close to getting his degree. I don't think he leaves. I went to one of Eddie's Twitter spaces on Thursday or Friday and found the person. I can't remember who it was. The person who started the Andy Jean is transferring rumors. Like Andy Jean has a hamstring injury.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't telling the coaching staff I'm leaving, so put me in a non-contact jersey because I don't want to get hurt. He was on the sideline engaged in the game, even though he wasn't playing. I don't think Andy Jean leaves. I'm not sure who will leave. There's older guys that could leave. Maybe guys who have already used a transfer, but now that the NCAA is not policing a two-time transfer and allowing it, maybe an older guy who came in as a transfer and hey, this didn't work out. I tried it, didn't work out. Now I'm older. I've only got a year to play left, 2 years to play. I don't want to waste one of my 2 years to play sitting on the bench here. Maybe I can go somewhere else.
Just speak on the comments. I do think like this is just seeing Lagway play and knowing what's invested in him NIL wise. I don't think this is Billy last year, no matter what, how it shake out. Unless we just go and lose every game and it really falls off the wheels. But I don't even think a losing season guarantees him getting fired just because you need to keep Lagway here to see what, because he's that type of player that can change some things. And you got to see him at the helm as a starter before you scrap this whole experiment, in my opinion. From what I know and what I understand, like, unless it really goes haywire this fall, the Miami game is going to put either coach, Mike Cristobal or Billy, on the hot seat. But the seat's just going to be hot. They're going to see this thing play out with Lagway, because if Billy leave, Lagway going to leave. Right. And then we're really in the dumpster fire as far as leaving Mertz, losing Mertz in DJ Lagway and recruiting a brand new quarterback board with a new guy. You're in a hot tub for real, for real.
Yeah. Yeah, Florida finds themselves in that proverbial rock and hard place situation again.
Lagway is him, though. Like, Lagway could change all of this stuff. You better play Lagway this fall. I'm sorry. You just got to find some packages, because that kid is good. He's a gamer, bro. Like, you can see the intangibles. He got the glow. We ain't seen that glow since Tebow, for real, for real. So, like, you got to play him a little bit. Just like they played Tebow in early in the league years and whatnot, you got to play the young boy to see if he brings some sparks. The players are tweeting about him after the game. They're all gravitating toward this young leader. And that type of guy, bro, that's like Jameis Winston's coming in and saving Jimbo's career, because it was very muh, you know, with the – he had quarterbacks before then. Yeah. EJ Manuel, the Ponder years. It was very muh. And then – Jameis came in and changed some shit. And I think this is a very similar situation. Not as bad, because Jimbo had it decent. But Florida State wasn't back and making any strides toward a national championship until Jameis got there. Yeah, you got to play the young boy.
It's football is becoming a quarterback-driven league. You need a quarterback. You need somebody to protect the quarterback. You need somebody to go get the quarterback. But it all starts. It all starts and ends at the quarterback. And I think I said it last year, like Billy, or in the offseason, Billy Napier needs to save his own job before DJ Lagway can save it for him. And I think you're right, Silk. I think that starts with finding packages, finding ways to get DJ Lagway involved, even if it's just like Tim Tebow. Like, how many passes did Tim Tebow throw as a freshman? Maybe 10?
More than that.
Even if it's just coming in and being that running option, we know he can pass. It's on tape from high school. It's on tape from the spring game. He can throw the ball. So it's not even a situation where, like, Blake Bell, when he came in for Oklahoma, it's like, hey, they're only bringing him in on 4th and 1 to get 1 yard on the ground. And you can put 11 in the box to stop it because he can't throw. You can't do that with DJ Lagway. So I think Florida has added stuff, and it's not that they've added stuff from out of the playbook. They've kind of just like unlocked some stuff that they aren't going to run with Graham that's already in the playbook that they can run with DJ. And I think we'll see that in the fall. Again, there's no point in redshirting DJ Lagway. He won't be in college for 4 years, and he won't be at the University of Florida for 4 years.
Right. Tim Tebow's threw 33 passes for 358 yards.
Did you just call him Tebow's? Like the
no, I said that? Tim Tebow threw.
Oh, I said Tim Tebow's. Like the
No. One, but
woman, that woman that was in Congress or somewhere.
Favorite Florida Gators chant: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and them Gators don't take no jive.
Don't take no jive.
Don't take no jive. Irving Myers and Timothy Tebow's. All right, guys. So I think that brings us to the end of football talk. Obviously, the transfer portal that we mentioned opens tomorrow. Expect the Gators to be active on both sides of that marketplace, both with players entering and players joining the University of Florida. The Gators got Ricky Pearsall this time 2 years ago during this open period. who was it? One of the commenters, I think from On3, maybe 247, said that they expect this to be the most active spring transfer portal we've had. So with that being said, Nick, it's time for everybody to leave. And you talk about the Gators losing another series in baseball, lose to South Carolina, win on Sunday. Jack Caglione delivers again, what, six homers in six straight games, eight out of the last nine. But Gators
carrying, bro. My guy's trying to carry this load and it's getting heavy.
Yeah, Friday night, you don't get a great start at Brandon Neely. Fall apart late on Friday night. South Carolina really turns it on. Saturday, you get Pierce Capalla back. And I tried to warn people that Pierce Capalla is not like, a cure-all drug. He hadn't pitched in 783 days. So it's going to take him some time to come back. He's on a 40-pitch count. He could be a guy, though, that I see starting on Saturdays the rest of the season. But you have to win your home games. The magic number in the SEC has been 20. If you win 20 games in the conference, you're going to probably win the SEC championship, the one that matters before we get to the SEC tournament. And I have people telling me that that's what matters. It doesn't. It means nothing. It might mean something for Florida this year because way things are going, they might need to win some games in Hoover to even get to the postseason. Kevin O'Sullivan's teams have never lost enough to miss the postseason. But I think for Florida, the issue is going to be, where do you get your wins now? I thought you needed to win two or three against Missouri. You win zero. You need to win two weekend games when you're hosting in the SEC. They did not win two. Now you have to go on the road for your next six games at Vanderbilt, who's a top 25 team, at Arkansas, who's the number one team in the country. Then you get Tennessee, who's top 25. Then you get Kentucky, who's top 25. Then you get Georgia, who's top 25. You had to win your home games, and you had to win two on the road against Missouri, and you didn't. And it's pitching's been the issue, but also the approaches at the plate. And I saw a little bit of it Sunday, guys going backside, taking the ball the other way. But like when you're in situations in baseball, runners on second and third, less than two outs, you don't need to hit a home run, and your approach shouldn't be, well, I have to hit a three-run home run here. It should be, how do we get that run in? And it's
6-8 the long ball, Nick.
Yeah, it's hitting the ball the other way. Even a ground out to second, if the defense is playing back or in double play depth, runners on second and third, defense back, infield back, a ground ball to second is a RBI, even if you don't get to first. So the approaches at the plate, there's been a lot of big swinging, trying to hit the 4, 5, 7, 12 run homers instead of just, what's my job? How do I get my job done? Yes, a home run would get your job done, but a sac fly or a bloop single might do the same job.
Do you think we should have been more aggressive with pitchers in the transfer portal before the season? Do you think Sully took the right route with these young boys?
Cost money in baseball to get transfers.
Florida, money in every sport to get transfers.
Yep. Florida had a guy, Kelly Austin, never trust a guy with two first names from UCLA.
Or two last names.
That's true. Yeah. Shouldn't have trusted them from the beginning. So signed from UCLA. I think he would have been a guy they would have put in the back end of the bullpen. He would have been your closer. Just didn't get drafted, but signed for six figures and is playing minor league baseball right now instead. It's a really young pitching staff. 11 of the 18 pitchers are freshmen, but three of those 11 are hurt. So you're having to lean on Luke McNeely, Alex Philpott. Riley Whitmer's a guy who has only pitched, I think, two or three times this year, who I liked. I thought could get the job done. He's not quintessential Florida pitcher with his velo and his spin, stuff like that. But if you're getting the job done, I mean, Florida is missing the Gatorade National Player of the Year in Christian Rodriguez, who had to have elbow surgery before the year. And you're missing another guy in Cade McDonald, who was 94, 95 on the mound the night that he hurt his elbow. So these are two other guys you would have, and you're kind of having to go into every weekend in all these situations with the same cards. You know, it's not Major League Baseball. You can't hit the the transfer portal is not open now. You can't do free agency in the middle of the season, and you can't trade players. So the team is what it is right now. It's going to be a tough end to the season. We'll see if they can meet that challenge.
Do you think they bat with that? Like you said, their approach to the plate. Do you think they bat with that with them buying that they do have a weak pitching staff and they got to get runs?
Florida has trailed in every single SEC game they've played this year. So the pitching staff, at some point, offenses, the batters are like, at some point, we're going to be down, and we have to. Yeah, so absolutely, pitching poorly can start to affect your offense because you have the mentality of, even if we score four runs in the first inning, at some point, our pitching staff is going to blow this, and we need to keep hitting home runs. But I think Florida's offense has been very home run dependent. Their scoring has been very home run dependent.
For sure.
And that's good. Like you see that all across the SEC. Power pitching, power hitting, win games in the SEC, but you still need to be able to manufacture runs, whether it's, you know, a walk, a steal, and a bloop that can get you a run. It doesn't, you can't just rely on home runs because you'll run into a Missouri series where the wind is blowing in three straight days. And you're hitting balls that normally would be home runs and would be giving you two, three, four runs at a clip, but are now being caught on the warning track or being caught 320 yards from home plate in center field.
All right. Well, that takes us into another week where Nick lied about baseball.
Well, shout out. And I see my boy Caleb in the chat. I will be at his wedding on Saturday, so congratulations.
Damn, Caleb, no invite? What's going on, man?
Congratulations to Caleb and Adriana. Lauren and I are looking forward to celebrating with you Saturday, and I'm looking forward to having a DD driving me home.
Man, shout out to
Lowe. Designated driver for the kids out there that don't understand the lingo.
It's like your own personal Uber.
Personal. I shouldn't even call her a DD. I have a chauffeur on the way home.
You may just make sure you sit in the back seat of the Tesla.
I will.
Yeah. All right, boys. Any final thoughts, Nick? You have song of the week, so get to thinking about. We've got one final ad read, but any other content we want to get out there before we end today's show?
No. I got a big week, man. Flow Factory. If you haven't checked out those episodes, go check them out. But Zach Carter interview this week should be some good content, man. Tap in with us. We'll be dropping Thursday. We'll drop some trailers throughout the week. Tease it up a little bit, but appreciate everybody's support. Appreciate everybody's support at Stadium and Gale for rocking with us, man. Each and every Monday, we here kicking it.
Each and every Monday. All right, boys, before we get out of here, one final ad read for our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit alumnihall.com or go find them on Archer Road in Gainesville, Florida. Let them know Stadium and Gale sent you. But anything that you'd want accessory-wise, polo, shirt, tailgating supplies, accessories for golf, random trinkets around the house, Christmas ornaments when that time comes around, whatever it might be, anything Florida Gator related, Alumni Hall is going to take care of you. So again, alumnihall.com or visit them in Gainesville right off of Archer Road and I-75. If you're still watching, appreciate everybody for tuning in. Appreciate all you guys for jumping in the comments. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button if you have not. Make sure you follow this show on TikTok or on YouTube Shorts as well, YouTube Shorts. Podcast drops every Tuesday. Appreciate you guys doing that and listening to that each and every week. Appreciate you guys supporting our sponsor. If you want to be a sponsor of this show, reach out to us. We'd be more than happy. to talk with you, reach out to a very large swath of Gator fans. But as always, we close out with Song of the Week. Nick, what do you got, my friend?
This one is, I already had a song called
That Hat Is Fire, my guy, too. That hat, I keep looking at it, man. Fire hat, man.
Beautiful.
Shout out to Kyle. Kyle bought a pink one that says Azalea. They have Azalea flowers all over. This one is for the pimento cheese sandwich at Augusta. I've already had a song called Good Day. This one is also called Good Day. Different artist, but same positive vibes. Good Day by Jake Scott from the album called Lavender.
Very nice.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate everybody for watching. We will see you at the same corner, same time next week. I will likely not be here. So, Silk and Nick, you will take care of the show next week, and we'll see you guys next week.
Cup of coffee with the sunrise. Got this morning going just right. No plans, and it's so nice, so nice. Lord knows that it's been a long week. Whole world's been leaning on me. Right here's right where I wanna be. It's gonna be a good day, a good vibe. Ordering a little Postmates in my ties. Turn the music up on a long drive. Make a little love in the sunshine. It's gonna be a good day, a good time. As long as I got your head in mine. Wouldn't wanna live any other way. Turn off both the iPhones. Go anywhere we wanna go. If you want me, I'm yours, baby, just say so. Ooh, Lord knows it, it's been a long week. Whole world's been leaning on me. Right here's right where I wanna be. It's gonna be a good day, a good vibe. Ordering a little Postmates in my ties. Turn the music up on a long drive. Make a little love in the sunshine. It's gonna be a good day, a good time. As long as I got your head in mine. Wouldn't wanna live any other way. Wake up every morning, look at you and say, it's gonna be a good day.
Helicopter jump video, which was totally me and absolutely real.